Brighter Media Group original.
Hey, you're listening to Your Day Brighter, Reasons to Have Hope in This World. I'm your host, Tracy Tiernan. I am so glad that you're here. I want to thank our friends at J29 Solutions. They are the sponsors for the podcast. J29 Solutions, they're innovators with the right technologies for your business. To connect with Tracy Mills of J29, go to j29inc.com. All right, let me tell you a little bit about my story. We talk a lot about sharing our story with one another on Your Day Brighter. And today we're going to dive into the story of being single. Maybe you were there and you know what it feels like. I have been there for almost 18 years of my adult life. I was single and wanted to be not single. Can you relate to that? I was looking for my person. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have kids, all of it, the whole deal. And I could hear that biological clock, tick-tock, tick-tock. But I didn't get asked down on dates. Like from 31 years old till about 49, I went on dates with two men, one who actually fell asleep during dinner, and another who had a rage problem that I detected on the drive to dinner. And that was it. I mean, really, no one really asked me out. And I wondered what I know a lot of single people wonder, what's wrong with me, right? What's wrong with me? I cried a lot. I prayed a lot. I ate a lot. I dieted a lot. I went online. I tried eHarmony for a while. Nobody matched. Nobody corresponded with me. I was invisible, or so I thought. And it was quite a journey, sometimes a painful one, to learn to trust God during those years when the thing that I longed for the most was nowhere in sight. But I believe the scripture, Psalm 84:11, that says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And I believe God knows the desires of my heart. And I asked him, God, if this isn't from you, remove it. If this isn't your plan for me, just take it away. Here's the surprising thing. The desire never went away. And yet somehow I learned to love my life, my single life. And I loved it so much that when I met this man named Gary, I was concerned that my relationship with the Lord that had grown so precious and so rich would be compromised if I were actually to give my heart to this wonderful man. Gary and I have been married now for 8 years, and now I love my married life. And I'm so grateful that it didn't happen a second sooner, because this man was worth the wait. And while that sounds like a cliche, it's not. And while that wait was hard and it felt soul-crushing at times, I wouldn't trade all of those years of being single. I wouldn't trade them, because God was working a miracle on the inside of me. I just wish that I could have trusted him sooner with it. This episode of Your Day Brighter, I'm going to call it Loving Your Single Life Even When You Don't Like It. And we're going to glean some wisdom from two of my friends, two women that I love and respect, who are single, successful, beautiful, mature, thriving. I could go on and on. These are two of the most amazing women in my life. And they're also honest about when being single sucks. And so I want to just encourage you, be ready to hear some truth today. Be ready to laugh. Be ready to gain some insight. Be ready maybe to cry a little bit if you need to. I'm just glad that you're here. And I hope that you'll share this podcast with people that you love who need some encouragement. All right, you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Let me introduce to you my friends, Christina James and Aaron Branham, who are here in the studio with me. We work together here at BMG, Brighter Media Group, 95.1 Shine FM. Christina hosts our middays on the air. Aaron has done pretty much everything here at the ministry, I think. And she is now our creative services director. And these two women, we've done a lot of life together. We've been working together for a long time. And Christina and Aaron, they're not spring chickens.
We're not? hold up. I know already we're not starting like this. I know that.
She just told us, if we're old, what is she?
We're not going there, Tracy.
I can play this.
Like, back it up.
See why I love them already. I just
back
did that.
It all the way up.
I just did it to stir the pot, and it worked.
Did
to like.
Feel like the rug just got. We were like, yes. I'm floating on a cloud.
Yeah,
and then she just went,
Boom. No.
It was like who's the chef that like throws a little heat on the stove and it lights up on fire?
Honey,
I feel like him.
Heat.
Boom.
Yeah, that was the entire fire.
Right. That was it.
You just put the whole meal
everything.
Up in.
All right.
Dish just went up in
so
flames.
You see why I love them.
Done.
You
I'm
see why I love these girls. All right, so let me introduce you guys. So Christina James, I want to say from Texas, but even before that, from Ohio to Texas to Maryland.
But Texas is home.
Texas is home.
Yes.
And Christina, tell us a little bit about you. How old you are?
I am not telling you how old I am.
Hi, girl.
No, Stacy, hold up. I know we are not doing this.
No.
Wait a minute.
You should know, CJ.
Exactly.
Does not
we are not
her.
Talking about that. That's just not the Lord has not delivered me yet. If you want to keep praying on that, you can. But we're not talking about that.
She's 38.
Okay. And
27.
And
really?
Just pick a number, any number that you want.
Yeah. Just how old do you think I look?
I think you look like you're 30.
Okay. We'll stay there.
That's it.
Aaron, all right. How old are you, dear?
I will say my age because I need to put a bracket out there for the window that I'm looking for. Just I'm just putting that out
there.
Well,
see, that's what I'm saying here is that we're going to, I mean, there's going to be pictures up. For the podcast,
oh, man,
I want to know what y'all are looking
I'm
for.
27 as well.
No,
I turned 41 this year, and I don't mind aging it up and saying 41. I turned 41.
Turned
this year.
41 this year.
Yeah.
Okay, I am. I'm 57, so I'm just putting it out there so you don't feel like in any way I'm trying to throw you under the bus. If anything, I'm just in awe of who you both are. And I wanted to like just start with that because I wanted to mess with
Jeez,
you.
Jeez, now I feel like I have to say it.
No, don't.
You don't have to say it. There's no pressure.
Christina needs to be authentically herself.
I always feel pressure.
This podcast episode is about loving your single life even when you don't like it.
And, I think you just told us how we feel about it. Next. No.
Next. Let's start with this. Tell me about your dating history.
Let me go first because it'll be real fast.
Okay, go ahead.
None.
Like for real?
Oh, yeah, like for real. I had one person ask me out probably about 16 years ago, turned him down. Best thing that ever happened to him because he met his wife and they have got 3 kids together.
Wow.
And I had another one that I like was sniffing around, I felt like.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was a no for me. And so I was trying to find the gentle way to like really kind of make it like that's a no. Best thing ever happened to him. He got married about a year later. So
look at God using you.
Right. I am a blessing. I am a blessing to people.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, too, all of my assistants that I've had, not that I've had like that many, but I've had 3 different assistants. And each of them came in a situation where they were not married, not dating, but interested. And with a year underneath of me, they all got married.
Whoa.
I've got a new person underneath of me right now. And I told him, I hope you're ready, sir, in about 12 months. you ring shopping.
She's coming.
I even had a recipe that I shared at one time when I was on the air and I shared with listeners, my chocolate chip cookie recipe, right, that helped people get their marriage proposals. I had one woman send me a picture of herself in the process of making the cookies when her boyfriend proposed to her.
Are you kidding
while
me?
While she was making my cookie recipe. So I truly am. I'm a blessing
I know,
to the marriage.
I know that you are.
Game.
Maybe we should have your cookie recipe in the notes, the show notes of the podcast.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm just saying. But you have to have somebody, though. You've got to, like, they got to be, it's like, we need to make this decision now. You make the cookies, and within about 2 weeks, the proposal happens. Kid you not. Multiple people. Including,
where were you when I was 31?
Right?
Dang, girl. 18 years, and I didn't have your cookies.
You
got to
have the man
out.
Lined up, though. The man has to be lined up. He just has to be dragging his feet. Well, you feel is dragging the feet for the proposal.
Oh, I see how
that's
it works
the tip
now.
Off. That's the pushes him over the cliff.
All right, so let me ask you. Okay, so Aaron's like right out there with it. So, Christina, you've dated a bit, right? So
I have, yeah.
How do you feel about the whole dating thing? Would you like to be asked out on dates? Have you had good dates? What is a good date?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to be asked out, I guess. I'm in a different space, though, right now. With just being single. I think I am. I've been enjoying my time and my space by myself. And I've been thinking, like, do I want to share this with someone else? So that's where I'm at. And then also just with my history in terms of interest. So usually what has happened, the history is this. there has been interest in me, and the only reason why I've been interested in them is because they're interested in me. And so that is an insecurity thing.
Yeah.
Massive insecurity about myself and what I think I should have and what I deserve. And so I'm really working through that. And I mean, but I have met some good men, though. I've met some really good men. And kind of like you, Aaron, it's like the few that I have met that I would say, man, they're great guys. Shortly after, not long after, we kind of had our little stint. They're now married. So I'm a blessing as well. Date me for a couple of months and you'll find your girl. It's just, that's the way it's been. And I'm really happy for them. Right. I mean, genuinely, like, yes, I'm glad that you found someone, because I wasn't it. But I have been on some good dates. I think one was really clever. We went to one of those, what do you call it? The breakout?
Where you like have escape to, room? Like,
escape room thing. I was like, oh, that's pretty clever.
They're fun.
That's pretty clever for a first date.
That's interesting, being locked in the room with
person. It was. But it was, okay. In my mind, I was like, this is so different.
Yeah.
Because usually it's, let's go eat, let's go to a movie. Right. But this was very different.
You got to work together. You got to see how they problem solve. That's a big clue right there.
Yeah, because he did it. I am not that person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you can take control like that? Praise him. Because that would not be me. Because we'd be stuck in here all day.
That was a good date.
It was actually a good date. I thought it was very thoughtful, you know, to do something like that.
What's the worst? You have a worst date story?
Yes, I do.
Tell me. I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, somebody
I'm
met.
Listen and enjoy, FYI. I'll be that one over here.
So this happened a while ago. I mean, we talked a couple times on the phone, and I was kind of like, he's not that interesting. Just because of how he, I don't know. There's just something about the way he was talking. I'm like, I don't know. So a few months go by. He texts me one night or afternoon. He says, hey, you want to go to a Washington Wizards game? And I was like, first of all, was this for me?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, yes, let's go. He's like, all right, cool. Well, let's meet up at the church and we can go from there. And I was like, okay, so you're driving, right? Because I don't want to drive out there and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
DC.
He's like, yeah, no problem. So we get to the church. He gets out of the car. I get out of the car and I'm starting to walk towards him, but he's walking towards me. I was like, okay, hey, what's going on? He's like, yeah. Do you mind driving? Because, you know, I'm a little tired. And I'm just like, first of all, in my head, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We already said you were going to drive. So anywho, I was like, okay, well, free tickets to the Wizards game. Let's just, like, it's okay. Let's just let that go to the side. So we get in the car, we're driving along, and we get to maybe 3 or 4 exits before we're supposed to exit. And he's got his hands on his chest and he's patting around, and I'm like, he's like, oh man. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Oh man. He's like, oh, the tickets. I think I left them in the car. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Oh no.
He left his wallet in the car.
No.
Or at least wherever he had the tickets.
No.
And I'm like, what? So we turned around, and we were already gonna be a little bit late. So there was no way to go back.
Unbelievable.
And anyway, no.
Yeah. No.
Unbelievable.
I just couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, this is good. At that point, I was already frustrated, and that just added another layer. And I was like, well, this is going to be a story to tell. At that point, it was like, this is just going to be a story to tell. Because this guy
is a
goofball.
And this was your moment right here.
This was it. How's it feel? How's it feel? Was it worth
great.
It?
I've told this story so many times.
Did you ever go to the game?
We couldn't. Because at that point, I mean, we're talking from Baltimore to D.C. And we were already probably going to get there at the end of the first quarter, you know, or close to it. So trying to drive back and go back, the game would have been over, you know. It wouldn't have been worth it.
Can I tell you two things that I just heard in that story that like are so important to women?
Yes.
Most women that I know, you already had a very clear discussion on the expectations, right?
Yes.
And the root of that was security for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he came in. He uprooted the security of what had been agreed to.
Wow.
That put you off and then put you literally in the driver's seat. and he put himself in the passenger seat, and we're both strong-willed women.
Right.
We want a man that's going to sit in the driver's seat.
Oh! Come right. on. Yeah.
We want to yield to a strong man. That's the thing, is strong women, we want to be able to yield to a strong man. And if you put me in the driver's seat, we're done. We're done, because I'm not driving this whole shebang. That's just not happening.
That is so much wisdom and much insight right there. That is, somebody needs to double click, take notes on that, okay? Because that is the truth.
It's very true. But I will say, Erin, though, I don't know if I'm as strong-willed as you are. I think you are. No, I'm serious, because we've talked about this over the years. I really don't. I am really not that person.
Yeah.
I admire you for the strength you have and your ability to take charge. I am not that. I do it because I have to.
Yeah.
But I really do want to submit to someone.
Same.
And be that person to support. You know, I don't think that. Now, my sister is. Like, she's definitely that much more assertive. That's just not me. And so I agree 100% that a man needs to be the one to take charge. I just feel like that is innate. And mm-hmm. it is innate for us to want to support that mm-hmm. and to have the security and safety of somebody yep. who's going to do it.
Yep. And he's going to show you right from the beginning. Yeah. You're already looking to see signs of, you know, what is this man's character? Yeah, what is this? What is this woman's character? This isn't just a show for single women today, by the way. We're talking about singleness. So whether you're female, whether you're male, whether you're married on the other side of it, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I want to enter into conversation with my friends and better understand what their experience is like. And if I'm going to be a matchmaker, I want to like do it well. I want to know, but I hear you. Have you ever been told, as confident, strong, single women, that you're too strong? Have you ever been told that you just need to dial it back a little bit because a man needs to have some space to be able to lead and grow? And meanwhile, you're like, yeah, but if I'm not 100% myself and he's not stepping up, you know, then I'm just kind of hanging out here. You ever been told that, Erin?
Oh, yeah.
That you're too, fill in the blank. You're too what?
Yeah, I mean, that's in relation to both men and women. I'm too strong. I'm too forward. I'm too forceful. I'm too, too, too. But the interesting thing to me that I reverted back to when I had a conversation with something is, but yet you want me to be that person. Because when you have XYZ issue, I'm the one that you call to take care of it.
Mm.
So it's two until we bump up on it.
And until we need it.
And here's the thing. I know... the Lord has gifted me this personality. This is not a personality for any woman who is a strong or assertive or what have you. This is a gift from the Lord to be used in submission to Him, right? It's very easy for a strong-willed woman. I think there's a woman named, I think it's Cynthia Tobias, and she has a book, it's called The Strong-Willed Woman, or something along those lines. And she says in the book that we feel bad when we've overrun somebody. When we see problems and we just leap to go take care of them, right? Because that's just the way that God's wired us to go do.
Yep.
Or we see an injustice, or I happen to also be 6 feet tall. I can be an imposing person, I know that, and I've got to sometimes watch myself and how I can interact, because I know that I can come with a significant presence behind that as well. And that can scare people, or it can put them at, you know, there are things that I know that I've got to just rethink. Maybe that I've got to be a little bit more gentle on how I handle something. But to me, my personality, who I am, what I do, that's all in subjection to the Lord that I've got to bring into under submission to Him. And as I look at what marriage would be, I'm looking for a man who is, it doesn't even occur to him to be intimidated by me.
Right.
He sees me and he's like, I want that strength behind me. Man, imagine what we can do together.
Yes.
Like that's who I'm looking for. I know, actually I take that back. I don't know that that's out there, but what I do know is that the Lord knows who I am. He knows what my desires are. He knows the person that can handle all of this.
Yeah.
Right? And what that match could potentially be. But until then,
I'm the Lord's. He is my caregiver. He is my shelter provider. He's my security. He is he's all of those things. And even in marriage, he would still continue to be. I'm just now bringing myself under, you know, I'm supporting, you know, through my strength, someone else.
So, newsflash here: strong women don't necessarily want to rule over a man, because a woman is strong. It's meant to be a complement to a strong man, and to be able to use those strengths to complement one another, and not to overpower or dominate. I really appreciate that, because I don't know any strong women who would say, yeah, I'm really looking for a passive guy who doesn't want to lead, is really tentative, and you know, that's really what I'm going for. No, I still want a man to show me that he has strength, and that he can feel confident and secure next to a strong woman. Christina, what are you looking for?
6'4", 240.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the rest of that for both of us.
I knew that she had a specific answer.
I joke, and I'm like, if I can sling him over my shoulder, that's not going to work.
Absolutely. If I can pick you up and bench press you,
right,
it's not working, sir.
Right.
What's funny is somebody asked me this yesterday. They said, would you consider dating or even marrying someone who isn't quite into church like you, or as strong as a Christian as you, or really into God as you? Mm-mm. Is that a turnoff? I said, absolutely. Mm-mm. It's a turnoff. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but sometimes you have to lead. Mm-hmm. You got.
No.
I said, no.
No.
I said, no. That would be a problem, mm-hmm. because we're going in different directions, mm-hmm. and that would cause a whole lot of friction. I mean, if the goal for me is to go to California and the goal for him is to go to New York, and we're in the middle of the country and we're trying to get there together, it's not happening.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is. So that is number one. And I need to be able to trust the God in you. You know, because I know what I want to bring to the marriage. I know already what I'd like. I mean, the idea in terms of that spiritual connection, that has to be there. That has to be there. It's already a challenge in relationships. So if we're not on the same page, that's just going to bring a whole lot of mess. So number one, I need to trust the God in you.
Mm. I love that you were relentlessly committed to that. That you're not going to compromise that.
I'm not dating you to Jesus. I'm not, right? Like, that's...
Especially not at this point in life.
Not at this point in life. Like,
what point is that? How old are you again?
Well, you know, old enough to know better.
Old enough to know.
How would you explain that, Aaron? How you see faith and having a shared faith and spiritual life and commitment to Jesus as being a priority in your life?
Well, I think Christina said it, right? It's we have to be on the same page at that. You know, the one thing that you hear all the time is marriage takes work. It's hard to work with somebody that you don't like, right? And if you two have to be together, there's only one thing that unites people, and that is the Lord, in my opinion. And if both of us are coming at this thing from completely opposite ends, and we're not trusting the same Lord together, we really can't go anywhere.
That's right.
And I can't lead you. I certainly can share Jesus with you, but I can't lead you in marriage to Jesus. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if I have to, as I believe that Scripture calls women to do within marriage, in submission and support of a husband, it's going to be really hard when I don't respect you.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And
that's
a big huge
one. It's huge. And I have to respect how you were leading under the headship of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And here's the thing. It's, to me, it's both of us under the headship of the Lord here. Right?
Right.
And we have to agree. We have to be, as Scripture would say, and what you would allude to, that equally yoked. Mm-hmm. Right? We have to be on equal footing on that, or else we're just not going to be in. We're not going to be in lockstep.
And what's the thing that men need most? Respect.
Right.
And if we can't, and if I can't respect you as someone who's going to lead me, that means I don't feel safe, which is the number one thing for us.
Right.
I need to feel safe.
Right.
On all counts.
Right.
So
right.
It has to be. We have to have that.
And if
in
we're
common.
We're both pursuing the Lord, then and we're following what the Lord has commanded us to do, then we're both looking out for each other's good,
mm-hmm.
right? We're both serving each other through Jesus. And there's this even deeper love that's coming mm-hmm. from that.
Mm. I really, gosh, this is such great stuff. See, this is the depth of wisdom that the two of you have that over the years, it has grown in your lives. It's funny. We don't always think, I'm signing up for God's plan to grow wisdom, because that usually means I'm going to have to go through the crucible. I'm going to have to go through hard things.
And you will.
And yet it's through those hard things that we draw close to him, mm-hmm. That he shows us what's really important. And I know too many women who, I don't know about the guys. I can't say that I have experience on the other side of that, of hearing men's stories of being unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. I hear it more on the women's side. So forgive me. I don't mean to leave anybody out of the conversation mm-hmm. here. But I hear women that so desperately want someone in their life, and they can look at a guy and go, well, but he's a good guy. He's nice. Mm-hmm. He's kind. We have fun together. We laugh together. But yeah, he's not really into church, but he'll go with me if it's important to me. You might feel like that's okay right now, but
he'll
eventually...
He'll do it right now because he wants you. Once he's got you, the story changes.
That nice will be nasty.
Come on!
Right. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, yeah. You guys are dropping so much wisdom.
And that's, right, I mean, and that's not to put... That is truly not to put a man down.
No.
But think about anything that you... Man or woman, that you work really hard to get something, right? And then mm-hmm. you get it, and then what?
You relax.
Or
take for granted.
Right. You know, I think a lot of the thing with singleness is we sometimes feel like and also depending on what kind of a culture you grew up in, right? So I grew up in a very steep, deep, I know the word is not a good word anymore, but the evangelical culture, right? I was homeschooled. My whole life was built around marriage. I went to home college to get a degree in Christian education so that someday I could homeschool the children that I would have. That's how deep marriage life was about for me, right? So I've always felt like this piece is missing because I don't have marriage. Here I am, this whole thing that I've trained for, I've been trained my whole life.
Wow.
I don't have, something is missing. There is nothing that is missing from me. There's not a single thing that's missing from me because the Lord fulfills every single need that we have. It's just a faulty view that still hangs around in my brain that I got to keep turning off, right? That piece. But even if I got what I wanted and I got marriage right now, I would turn around that next day and be satisfied for a little bit. And then what would I want more after that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would want something else, which means that this thing that I think that I have to have that would fulfill all my needs isn't true. It's just an idol. It's not going to change anything. And at the end of the day, the root has to be the Lord. That is, I got to crave Jesus more than anything.
Got to crave Jesus more than anything. We're going to pause right there just for a moment so that I can thank our sponsors. And while I do, I want to say thank you to both of you for being so honest. When we come back from this little pause, this little break, we're going to talk about what do you do with that longing? Oh, I love this conversation so much. I hope you're enjoying it too. I want to tell you about some special people that make your day brighter possible. It's our sponsor, J29 Solutions. Now, this amazing company can do so many things to help your business. They're innovators with leading experts in technology and processes that can help with everything from staffing, data analysis, Medicare claims, health and human services. The thing that impresses me the most, though, about J29 Solutions, it's their commitment to their people and their community. Tracy Mills, she's the founder of J29, and she founded her company on the principle in her favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. It's that principle that drives Tracy in her business, giving hope to people by giving back to the community. They tithe J29's earnings back to nonprofits that align with her company's values each month. And I just feel so grateful and blessed to have J29 Solutions as our sponsor for your day brighter. Now, you can connect with Tracy Mills of J29. They'd love to hear from you. Go to j29inc.com. Loving your single life, even when you don't like it, talking to my winsome and wise friends, Christina James and Aaron Branham. So what do you do when you've got that longing, how do you handle it? Ice cream only works for a little while, right? It's very, very temporary.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a subscription to Weight Watchers like I do.
So, but this is a very real thing, and this, and it's hard. It's painful. I mean, I've been there. I remember what that longing was like. So what have you guys learned about your longing, and what do you do? What do you do with it? How do you deal with it? Christina, you want to talk to that for a sec?
Well, let's see. I think that for me, it is recognizing the insecurity. That's just been a major thing for a long time. Insecure in myself, how I feel about myself, my frame, just my body, how I look. And understanding that one of the reasons why I wanted someone is so that they could fill that need, which that will not happen.
You mean make you feel better about you?
Make me feel better about me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at this place where I'm like, that's what you've been really wanting all along, all these years. Really, you've been wanting somebody to feed that. Mm. And so I feel like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder a while back and said, that's a problem. So you need to get that fixed. Because that's going to be an issue in any relationship that you get into. So it's working on that. So for everybody has a different thing. For me, that's why I think I'm okay right now, because that's still being worked on. Mm-hmm. That's still an issue, I think. And it's consistently going back to prayer, to spending time with the Lord. I mean, it just sounds, I'm trying to find other words because it sounds so churchy. But that's just the reality, you know, I remember you saying this though, Tracy, a while back, you said, you know, I have to hide myself in the heart of God, so that whoever is going to find me, they have to go to the heart of God first to get to me. And that's true. So.
And it might sound, lofty or churchy or something, but it honestly, this is how real people of faith, real followers of Jesus, this is what we're trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. So the longing matters. I want to say the longing matters to God. You don't have to discount it. You don't have to pretend that it's not there. But there are healthy ways and unhealthy ways of dealing with it. And a healthy way is always going to be, if you can bring that to God in prayer, over and over and over again, if you can immerse yourself in that, if you can, I would say also, and Aaron, I'd love for you to speak to this as well. For me, one of my greatest, thorns in my flesh, when I was single, and even now as a married person, I'm selfish and I'm self-centered, and I needed to get myself out of myself. And that helped me with my longing. If I could focus on serving others, if I could focus on, you know, what are the people around me that God has entrusted to my sphere of influence and my care? And how can I love on them? How can I be there for them? That gets my mind off of myself and my longing. So that was a healthy thing that I got to do. How about for you? How do you deal with your longing?
I just want to say I echo and identify with what both of you have said. I think I totally identify with Christina's saying about, you know, looking to other people for validation for us.
Yeah.
Right. And trying to maybe see others like, okay, so 15-year-old me, if she knew that I was single today, she would be dead. She'd just go kill herself right now. She'd be so upset. Mm. She'd be so mad.
Oh, Aaron, that hurts my heart so much.
Like she'd just be so, so mad that this is where we are today. Now, 40 coming up on 41-year-old woman, Aaron, would talk to her and be like, man, we've got a good life. You have no idea what God has had for us to do all this time. Yeah, this peace is gone. But what I realized then that I would still see when we talk about the longing is that marriage was an idol for me that I had to kick off the throne. And how you know something is an idol, if God takes it away from you, are you going to stop following God?
Right.
Are you going to rail against God? Are you going to rage against God? And if you are, then you can't proceed anymore until you take care of what that thing is.
Because it's out of order.
Right. Because it even gets down to the root of, do you trust God? I trust God for everything. But this, you can't do anything in your own power on this thing. Only he can. So that was something that, you know, over the years that God has really like just hammered on me, and I fought. And I think that's something too to say that you, there are times when you have knockdown, drag out fights with God about things, right? Where you, yeah. you sit and you wrestle with him over them. I want to read you a quote because this just came up not too long ago, and I've got a new bookshelf, and so I've been going through some of my old books, and one of those is a book called Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot. And if you grew up in the quote-unquote purity culture, that was like a big book. And I went back. I was going to get rid of it, and I thought, let me just go back and kind of look at this, even though this book is not applicable to me today. Or so I thought. There's so much wisdom in this book. It's really her journey of how she met her husband and the 5 years that it took for them to go from meeting each other to being married. Wow. And the heartache and everything that was in between, the longings and such. But she said in this, hold on, because I had it open and I just erased it. Edit, right? It's the control of passion, not its eradication, that is needed. How would we learn to submit to the authority of Christ if we had nothing to submit? I found in my Greek New Testament that 1 Peter 5:10 could be translated, after you have suffered for a while, he himself will mend that which was broken. If all struggles and all sufferings were eliminated, the Spirit would no more reach maturity than with the child. The Heavenly Father wants to see us grow up. That applies to anything.
Anything and anyone.
Anyone.
mm-hmm. Powerful. Yeah, he wants us to grow up. And all of the longings, all of the passions, all of the desires under the control of the Holy Spirit, you know, ultimately is going to bring about a beautiful, fruitful, abundant life. Let me ask you, how has God changed you in your season of singleness? Because we don't know what God's plan is. We don't know if, you know, if there is marriage in his plan for you. If you both want it, I hope that there is. But I'm really confident that you want what he wants.
I have learned, you know, when you're a single person, you have to be self-sufficient. You have to be self-sufficient. You're the breadwinner. You're all of this. Mm-hmm. But I'm not self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. I need people. Mm-hmm. I need community. I need others. And I don't have to be the sole breadwinner. Sorry.
No.
Because I know that the Lord will take care of me. It's the security thing.
Yep.
It's a security thing.
Yes.
I feel like I'm on my own as a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously live in a whole different world than we did however many years ago.
Right.
But it is still the same, that same feeling and that same longing. And for me, it's just having to trust the Lord that he will take care of me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the strong one all the time. Mm-hmm. And he will make a way. Mm. Sorry, I know there's a lot of tears around that. But
yeah, that's tender.
That's my strong woman trying to like buckle everything in, but having to go, I know I have no control over this. I've got control over so many things. So what God has shown me over the year through all of that is, I can feel like I have all the control in the world, but I have no control in all of the world.
Yeah.
And the quicker that I own that and accept my weakness, the sooner I can draw on his strength. And his, why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I draw on his strength?
Yeah.
It's there for you. And it's not all up to you. You feel like it is, but it's
yes.
not. You feel like it
yeah.
is, but it's not.
Yeah.
How about you, Christina?
What I totally track with you, Erin, and it is a safety thing for us. And that's exactly what I've learned is I find my safety and my security in God, meaning on a practical sense that he will set up our lives to connect with people that will be what we need in a moment.
Yes.
So moving here, Tracy, you were one. Moving back here, my other friend, Andre, like, saying, here, come stay with me. You need a safe place until it's time for you to move. Car things for me is a big issue. Like, I don't have my dad. I don't have my brother here to call and say, hey, can you help me with this?
Like
being on your own, things like that, you're just like, but he has connected me in the moments that I need it. Like, if I ever had an issue with a car, it's like somebody just showed up and was like, hey, do you need this? Yes, I need this. And it... So noticing that, noticing that it was God setting you up. He's like, I know you don't have a physical man in your life that you can call on, but I have people already in place for you when you get to that moment to take care of that need.
Yep.
And that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I've learned to keep acknowledging God in every possible way, and he will direct my path, and he will direct me to people in my path to help me along the way. Mm-hmm. And that's it's almost like you don't even want that to be taken away.
Yeah.
Even when a man does come.
Yes.
Like, I just need to keep knowing that God is going to direct every single moment of my life, because he has, and he continues to do it.
And it would be unfair to even put that on a man.
Right.
To think that he can take care of all. He can't take care of all.
He's
got his own needs, and he needs Jesus to take care of it. If he's got his own needs, he can't take care of mine too.
Yes.
Right? We can
Not
share
all.
The burden, but, you know. Mm.
Can I tell you, like, when I was single and I met Gary, and I kind of knew right away when I met him, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, the girl that hasn't dated in 18 years, like, meets this guy, and I'm like, I'm ready to marry him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It just happened like that, right?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I knew it first, because I...
Oh, I did too. Can I tell the story? Wait, go ahead.
No, wait.
I know we don't have time. But finish.
For another time. We'll save it for another time. But just that is going to be will you guys come back and do this again with me?
Yes. Yeah, because we need to tell that story.
We got so many stories.
Part two.
We got so many stories. But just, I remember being terrified that, oh my gosh, the thing that I've been praying for and asking God for, I think he's here.
Yeah.
And I was afraid, because my relationship with God was amazing. And I was afraid that I was going to do this thing that I'd always done in my life in my younger years and put this man on the throne of my heart. If you put a man on the throne of your heart, guys, if you put a woman on the throne of your heart, he will fail you.
Mm-hmm.
They will fall down.
Yep.
I promise you, no one else belongs there. No one else can stay there but the Lord himself. And I knew this tendency, and I just didn't want to miss out on this special thing that Jesus and I had going.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God, if I'm in danger of replacing you, then stop this thing right now.
Yeah.
Just stop it right now.
That's it.
And
can I just say, like, that's been a prayer of mine, especially when it comes to marriage or anything that comes my way. Like, I don't want it. I don't want anybody sniffing around.
Yeah.
I don't want any of it where I got to sit kind of Jesus, block it all. Like you used to say about, you know, we aren't, what is it about being
hidden?
Right. We're hidden in the Lord is what it is. And I want to stay hidden until he decides, if the Lord decides to open, then it's open up to this one person.
That's great.
Who sees, that's all, because I don't want to deal with nonsense.
Nope.
I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old now. I didn't want to deal with it back then. I don't want to deal with it now.
Mm-hmm. Being hidden, that was a big part of my story as a single too, that God's got stuff for you to do. Here's the thing, is he's not stumped.
No.
He's not like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get her a man?
Right.
I just don't know what to do up here in heaven. I'm trying to find a guy and I can't find him anywhere. You know?
My family's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
No, God is not stumped. He knows where you're at. He knows your number. And you don't want to wait for your life to begin. You want to grab every moment that you have right now and live it fully. I love you both
right
so much.
Yes.
And we pray. We pray for all of our listeners. If you're single, if you're longing and you're just wanting to love the life that you have right now, I hope that this podcast has helped you. If you have any questions, if there's any way that we can encourage you, reach out. And please share it, spread it around, leave a review, because that helps other people to find it too. Thanks so much for listening to Your Day Brighter. And remember,
you can email Tracy if you want a date with either of us.
I was just going to get to that.
64240, where you at?
Oh my gosh, this was so good. So much fun and so much wisdom here. In fact, it was so good. We're going to do a part two of this conversation with my friends, Christina and Aaron, talking about being single. Really hoping that it will just encourage you on your journey wherever you are. Listen, thanks so much for listening. to the podcast. Your Day Brighter is produced by me, Tracy Tiernan, for Brighter Media Group. Executive producer is John Lawhon. And our amazing team, we've got Todd Gaddy, Caroline Burke, Aaron Branham, and Joel Lawhon. You guys are the best, and I'm so grateful for you. Most of all, I'm really grateful to you, our amazing community of listeners. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your time. Remember, tell somebody your story today, or better yet, ask to hear theirs. Thanks for listening. Join us for part two of a conversation about loving your single life, even when you don't like it.